Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name, the Lord of this church. Brother Duane, I almost hesitate to step into this message for fear I will unravel that clear bringing together, crystallization of baptism and what it means. And I do have some thoughts I'd like to take us to, but I praise God for that. And that is my desire this morning as well. Certainly to bring honor and glory to God and to attempt to open up the truth of God's word. But my desire is that it would be simple, that it would be clear, and that it would bring clarity to this beautiful ordinance that we are about to honor this morning. My title is Understanding Baptism, and perhaps it should say Understanding Believer's Baptism. That's something that we as Anabaptists understand and treasure, believer's baptism. We understand it's those who are making a conscious choice of their own because of their own understanding, and so they choose, and that's believer's baptism. As I was pondering this subject of baptism, my mind went to Jesus, first of all, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. I'd like to just take us there for a few moments. And the account is of John the Baptist preaching there in the wilderness, and he was baptizing many. And in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now there is a multitude of thoughts that we could look at in this portion of Scripture. But I want to just think about this act of Jesus, this act of the Christ. He came forward, he traveled, it says here, from Galilee to Jordan, and he stepped out of that throng that was there, and he said, I want to be baptized. And John, we know the account here, said, no, this isn't right. I'm here preparing the way for you. Why should I baptize you? And you can understand John's argument. I think we can connect to that. But Jesus said here, no, suffer it to be so that I can fulfill all righteousness. And I don't know what's all wrapped up in that phrase. I don't plan to spend a lot of time on that, except to say this. I think that I believe part of fulfilling all righteousness here was for Jesus to set an example. And so he was setting an example. He was including himself in this great institution, this great doctrine, this ordinance of baptism, which was going to become such a central part of the church as it went forward. And I don't plan to go back from here and look at maybe its roots coming out of the Old Testament and how that might be. But there was a unique thing that was happening here by a unique man with a unique message in the wilderness, this thing of baptisms. And Jesus wanted to identify with that. Jesus was identifying himself with this movement. And this voice, like I said, that was preparing a way for him, he wanted to identify with that. And by this action, Jesus identified himself with the masses of the poor and the needy and the rejected ones of the religious culture of that day. Jesus was identifying himself with that. And he really was making himself of no reputation here by this act and by this choice. Well, Jesus did not just set an example. Later in Scripture, he commanded that his church go forward teaching and baptizing all who will come to him. And those are familiar verses in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so this morning, we have gathered here for this special occasion of baptism, and we're going to honor this command of Christ. We're going to honor this command of Christ, and as I thought about Christ and his command, it is an honor to be part of carrying this out, of following through on this command, on this order. And all of us here today, all of us as witnesses to this baptism, are part of carrying out this great commission. And so what a privilege that is, and what a responsibility that is for all of us. And so it's my desire to teach simply today and to answer this question: what is baptism? How do we understand it? And it's my desire, Heather and Jared, that you would have a clear and simple understanding this morning, again, of what it is we're about to do. I want to refresh in all of our hearts and minds this morning. We're going to baptize with water this morning. And as Brother Duane already mentioned, as he discussed that, we're going to do something on the outside. We're going to do a physical act that's going to take place here. There's going to be kneeling, and there's going to be water that's poured. Those things on the outside that represent or signify what has already happened in the heart. What has taken place in the heart? And that's so key and so important in this service this morning. So with that introduction, I want to look at 5 points that baptism is, or 5 points of what baptism signifies, what it means. And so my first point is this. Number one, baptism is believing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I didn't know if I should feel bad or not. I believe at our last baptismal service, I looked at this verse in a devotional. But I want to look at chapter 8 of Acts, verse 35 through 39. And this is a sort of treasure, this account. There is just an appeal in it for me and how the gospel message was just going out here. And here is the eunuch, and he's traveling back probably from Jerusalem, and he's reading in Isaiah, and he doesn't understand it, and God, by his Spirit, brought Philip there and placed him there, and then Philip joined the eunuch and was explaining to him, teaching to him Jesus out of the Old Testament, and the eunuch in verse 36 said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Jesus said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then Philip left by the Spirit of God. He departed. And verse 39 concludes, "And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." And so Philip had asked this question: do you believe with all your heart? And so we can take from that the importance of believing from the heart. But Philip was asking a question that was really a yes or no question. And the eunuch did not answer it yes or no. He answered it this way. He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And in that statement, there's so much wrapped up in it. It's not just a few words put together, but there's such a statement in all the promises of Scripture, all the promises of this book stand on this belief. From the first chapter of Genesis to the last revelation of the Revelation is wrapped up in that statement: "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip said, "Let's baptize you." And they stopped and they baptized. Baptism is believing. And so, as we go through these different points, what I'm going to be teaching to you and to all of us, and Heather and Jared, is what I know has already taken place by your testimony and by our times as we sat together and studied. But it's So we have that background, but we also have this act this morning is a public testimony and statement of that belief. And that is beautiful to me. So we stand on this belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we believe that Jesus did in fact create this world. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he came to this earth. We believe that he did die and was resurrected and is living again today, sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. We believe that. And baptism is believing. It's about believing. It's that statement of belief. This is what I believe. And so we have the promises of John 3, 14 and 15 through 16. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thus, this promise to not perish, twice repeated in those few verses, to not face judgment, is yours. It's ours. It's mine because of belief. He that believeth. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So this belief, this commitment to this truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God clears up the confusion, the voices around us. Who is the Christ? How can you be saved? Jesus made it clear here that there is no other way to be saved. And another verse yet, Romans 10, verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So these verses tell us again that our belief is settled in choice and not feelings. It's in these facts, it's in this knowledge of the truth, and so we believe. We make a choice, and we do not rely upon our feelings, but we believe that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, and we believe that in our heart. And so the Lord, we believe and choose with our will the Lord Jesus as our Savior. This baptism this morning represents belief. It represents faith, believing. It is a public testimony to a simple belief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world. The second point that I have is baptism is confession. And we just read, in fact, why don't you go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at that together. Romans 10, and let's look at 9 and 10. I already read these verses, but I want you to be able to see them with me. Romans 10 talks about believing with the heart, but it also has this word confess in it. And you'll notice in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, confession there's a couple points that I want to make under this point of confession. But the first one is what we see here. And that is this communication of the mouth, this confession of the mouth, this confession of action. And so I see this morning that baptism is that. It's this confession of the heart that translates into words. There's going to be some vows made here this morning. Those are confessions of the mouth. And we hear them, the witnesses hear them, and the one who administrates the ordinance hears them, and we accept that confession of the mouth. The Bible tells us that this confession of the mouth is important, and that it's necessary. This is an important aspect of baptism. And so that's why, again, we welcome witnesses. And really, this morning, for you, Heather and Jared, this will be one of many opportunities for you to confess Christ. This is a place to confess Christ, and it's a good place too. This thought of confession is taught other places in Scripture as well. Matthew 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven, and whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. A beautiful verse of promise, this thought that as we confess our Father, as this morning's confession of faith, Jesus is saying that I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And so we have that promise. But he also has a warning in this verse. If we're not willing to make that confession, if we withhold our tongue from making that confession, if we deny my Father which is in heaven, then Jesus says, I will also deny you. And so this morning, I want us to understand in this thing of confession that's what baptism is. It's public. It's audible. It's visible. And it's an important part of the Christian life and beginning the Christian life. And we continue on now in this thought of confession to confession of sin. And that's certainly a part of. Baptism is confession. And 1 John 1, verse 8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Baptism is confession. It's recognizing that we, in fact, have a problem that we need help for outside of our own ability to do something about it. And so we confess our sins. We first need to understand that we have a need. And that's why it's important. That's why we hold believers' baptism so highly. Because unless someone understands their need, they're not able to reach out to the answer for that need. And so, but in understanding that need, that isn't enough. Once we understand, then we need to do something about it. And that something is to confess. And that's humbling. And that's recognizing our need of help. It's recognizing our need of a Savior. It's recognizing our need of the blood of Christ to wash away the sins. Baptism is all of that. It's a confession of all of that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. There was this is a familiar account. There was a message that was preached, and many turned to Christ. Many believed, and they said to Peter, after he had preached to them, they said in verse 37, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on there. And this thought of confession is tied directly with repent. And I needed to bring that word in because so many times the message that went out in the early church was repent and be baptized. That's the message. And it ties to this thought of confession and recognizing our need. It's a baptism, it's a public statement that we have recognized that we are sinners and have confessed our sins and are repented of them. We've turned away from them. We don't desire to follow after them. Certainly, we're still in a battle. We're still in the flesh. We still know what disappointment wells up inside us when we get angry at that sibling again. We know that. But we're repenting, we're choosing, we're pressing towards that which is right, that which is true, and we ask forgiveness, we repent, we turn away. And in doing so, Peter goes on to say here in verse 38, he says, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. This morning, baptism is all of that. It is a confession. It is confessing our need of a Savior. It's confessing our belief. And so we'll see that again this morning. The third point that I have this morning is that baptism is receiving. Baptism is receiving. If you still have your Bibles open, right here to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter concludes that verse by saying, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a promise that is. What all does it mean? Turn with me on back to Acts chapter 10. Let's look at some more verses that develop this. And this is chapter 10, verses 40 through for 47. And this is another one of those great moments in the recounting of the gospel message, because Peter had received that vision. And Peter went down to the unclean Gentiles, and he walked into a room full of them, which was already a violation for a Jew to do. And he began to teach them and to tell them about the plan of God. In verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And he stayed with them for certain days. And so baptism is about receiving. The Bible teaches us that a special grace of the Holy Spirit is received through baptism. I don't understand it. I can't explain it all. I don't know what all it's going to look like in your life necessarily. But I believe that in this act this morning comes into your hearts and into the hearts of those of us who have made this choice and have taken this action, a special grace of the Holy Spirit, a new unction of the Spirit, an understanding that we didn't have before, a power that we didn't have before, desires that are holy and right, desire to live for God. It is poured out upon the believer. And we believe this, and it's one of the reasons why we do pour in baptism, because it signifies that pouring out the Holy Spirit upon those who choose baptism. And so, Jared and Heather, the gift of the Holy Spirit will be yours in a new way today. I don't say that you did not have the Holy Spirit in your life before. I believe it is the Spirit of God who moved you to repentance. The Bible teaches us that as well. But I believe that it will be yours in a new way today, and we praise God for that. Baptism is receiving. Well, we could really, Brother Duane brought up another point. Baptism is surrender, and he elaborated on that, and it is so true. Should have been one in here. Brother Duane brought that to us. Baptism is surrender. I don't have that as a point. But my next point is that baptism is entrance. And you'll notice, if you want to just flip back to Acts chapter 2, once again, I believe that as these young people have made a decision for Christ at that moment, as they chose, as they reached out, as they accepted the blood of Christ upon their lives, that they became a child of God. I believe that. But there is an entrance that is going to happen here this morning, an entering in that is going to take place by this baptism. And you'll notice it here in chapter 2, verse 41 of Acts. And it says, And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There was an adding to. There was an there was a larger body. There was more people. There were people who now had been outside, and they were brought into a community, a fellowship, the Christian church. And so there it's taught here. We understand it from this verse. Over in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this: "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." So we're talking about a body. We're talking about a group. We're talking about a people. And if you want to go a little further with that, we could go to Ephesians chapter 4. Why don't we turn there? I think we have time to do that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you look at beginning, let's say at verse 4, Paul's giving instruction to the Ephesian church. And he says there's one body, one spirit, as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. He talks a lot about one. He talks about these people coming together in one. And I think he's also teaching there the big picture of the church as well. One faith, one baptism. But if you continue on through the passage, you see him developing that into the local church. And you'll see it over here let's say verse 15. Well, verse 13, he talks about coming in the unity of the faith. He talks about the different gifts in 10 and 11 of the apostles and teachers and evangelists. But he continues on into verse 16, "For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." And he's recognizing the gifts in the church and how they complement one another. And so this morning we're talking about baptism and how we are to work together in one body. Ephesians 4 speaks of that, how we have different gifts that complement and are needed in the body. And so this morning you are about to be formally and publicly welcomed into the body of Christ, and more specifically, into this body here at 4th Avenue. That's what baptism brings you. Baptism is an entrance into the body of believers, the fellowship of the saints here in 4th Avenue. And so this is a wonderful thing. And we look forward to your contribution in this church. We hope to have good Sunday school teachers, good song leaders, good Bible discovery workers, a whole host of other things by your entrance into this body. And so you are receiving by this entrance a place of belonging. And so this is your home. This is your brother. These are your sisters. This is your family. And together we're going to make it through to glory by the grace of God. Together we're going to do that. And together we're going to do great things in God's kingdom. We're going to do great things in God's kingdom. And so as the young come in, and as they grow up, and as they mature, and next thing you know, there they are. They're the ones out front. They're leading the charge. And the kingdom of God goes on. I have a final point. I'm going to close with this point. And that is, I don't have a verse that I'm going to turn to, a text verse for this point. But this point is, it's this. Baptism is beginnings. Baptism is a beginning. And as I was pondering this, this moment, Heather and Jared, is a beginning for you. And as you grow up and as you mature, you'll look back at this day. And there is a possibility, a very real possibility, that at some point in your life going forward, you'll doubt what happened here. You'll wonder about it. Did I even understand? Did I really choose? Did I really believe? Did I really confess? Did I really surrender? And so the devil will tempt you to doubt what happened here. And my encouragement to you is, don't allow that to happen. You may wonder, but I want you to understand that this is just your beginning. This is a day when you have stepped forward. And yes, as you go forward in life, you will make mistakes. As you go forward in life, God will chasten you. As you go forward in life, you'll understand so much more, and you'll wonder about how much you understood when you sat here on these benches. But that's the way God works. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning as you think about these points, as you think about baptism is believing. Do I believe? Yes, I believe. I understand. I believe. As you understand it to be a confession. Yes, I confess. I confess that Jesus is the Christ and that he raised him from the dead. And therein lies my remission of sins. And yes, I confess my sins. I understand my need of a Savior. And yes, I understand that I received a gift in baptism. Yes, I understand. And I understand that this morning I've entered into a body through baptism. And it was a beginning. And that's the important point, that today you understand that you have made a choice and that you have made a beginning, and God can work through you. God bless each one of you.